The Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fantasy Edge. My name is Jonathan Chan alongside Richard Seville and Kevin Kuo. We're back to our full-size team today. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Not too bad, man.
Yeah, interesting week in the NFL, fantasy-wise, I guess. A lot of underperformers, a couple of backups killing and crushing dreams, you know? We'll get to that. First, I guess, do we want to talk about the Jets-Pats game now, or want to do that during our regular lineup, guys?
I want to get it over with.
All right, so this is an absolute massacre. As I'm talking on my computer, I'm seeing what they're in a review now. 7 minutes left in the fourth. 33-0 Pats. There's nothing good from the Jets side. Absolutely nothing. Pats are just doing the Pats things. Sony Michel has three short yards touchdowns within the five. Yards per carry is not great, but he's getting all the red zone touches. Yeah, Pats defense is the best RB1 in the league.
I think this game, garbage time started somewhere around toward the end of the first quarter or something like that. Yeah. Garbage time started very early in this game. I noticed that that Brady actually hasn't been that sharp, but he hasn't had to be. But
no, I mean, the Jets defense isn't terrible. And Brady hasn't looked super, super good yet this year. Offense is still struggling, but I guess it helps when you're facing teams with awful records.
Yeah.
Little bit of stat padding, but I guess key performers, like I said, Sony Michel and Jacoby Myers is looking good as well. You know, fill in for Josh Gordon. He's 4 receptions, 43 yards. He's gaining Brady's trust. I don't know how long this will last when Gordon comes back, when N'Keal Harry comes back, but hey, he looked good. He looks good now.
Kev, what do you think of Ben Watson? Should we grab him?
Is he doing something?
Well, he was
I'm not paying attention.
3 catches, 18 yards.
Okay, then no, absolutely not.
Yeah, 3 catches, 18 yards. Five targets. If you need a tight end, if you desperately, desperately need a tight end, he's the only one catching passes.
But he's doing a lot more than like Izzo and...
Izzo and Lacoste are both hurt.
Yeah, so, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's by default. I mean, it's just, how much stock are you going to put into... Like you said, Brady's not even looking that good. And can he really support Edelman, either Gordon or Myers, plus Harry, plus James White, plus they're enough to
Don't
be
forget Dorsett.
Sonny.
Yeah,
plus Dorsett, who's actually very good at football. And then also float Ben Watson. Yeah, I just don't really see it. You're probably going to get a touchdown, maybe a 2-touchdown game or something wild, but I'm not going to start Ben Watson week to week.
No, I don't really
He's also
have
a cheater, just like the rest of the Patriots.
There's only one thing I have to add is that
what did Dorsett do to you?
No, Watson.
No. Yeah, but I mean, but like the rest of the Patriots, that includes Dorsett. What did he do? He worked his way up from the Colts, man.
No, I'm tired. I think I'm just tired. I have Patriots fatigue. Every week they smack some crappy team and we have to talk about them. It's annoying. I feel like I've said the same things over and over and over again.
We got to wait.
Mediocre. Julian Edelman's good. Josh Gordon's hurt. The replacements suck. Sony Michel is just going to score touchdowns and do nothing flashy. And James White is going to score 8 to 10 PPR, half-point PPR points per game.
Literally
and
every week.
And their defense is going to be 20, anywhere between 18 to 24 points a game.
Like I said, the best RB1 in fantasy, the New England Patriots defense.
They don't play anybody good until week 14. I mean, even Mahomes, is he going to be there? I think that's week 14.
Well, hold on. They play the Ravens in like 3 weeks.
Well, the Ravens, yeah.
Ravens are good.
The Ravens are good. They'll give them a challenge. They're always, the Ravens are always up for
those are
the
always
close
games.
Yeah, they're always good. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
one.
Except when we completely destroy you in the divisional round.
Anyways, one more thing before we move on, John. I just want to talk about Sam Darnold. I was watching him. He's just throwing the ball away every single down. He's not even looking for a receiver. He's just throwing it away.
It's better than getting hit. I mean, he has like no time. He's doing the best he can. I wouldn't judge Darnold and the rest of the Jets offense on this too badly, honestly. Darnold's looked good in the other games he's played this year, and he's got an absolute cake schedule coming up. So if nobody wants to pick up Darnold this week and you need a QB streamer, then yeah, I'd still trust Darnold against whatever. I think they have the Jags next week, that, and without Ramsey, I don't think their secondary is all that good. So I'm still on Darnold. All right, moving on. Thursday night game, Chiefs Broncos. Chiefs won 30-6, absolute blowout. Big storyline here is Mahomes dislocated his kneecap, had it pop back in. He's going to be out 3 to 5 weeks. Kevin, are we adding Matt Moore?
I think in two quarterback leagues you are. Hopefully in your single quarterback leagues, you've got another option. If not, Matt Moore, I assume, is just a passable streamer. In that offense with those weapons, like, he's probably going to get decent fantasy production. He's a career backup, but he's been productive in the past. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him have some productive games here and there.
Yeah. And Richard, I guess the other side of that, do you downgrade, or how much do you downgrade Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce with Moore under center?
I think you'd probably downgrade, Tyreek Hill, he was still doing it with Matt Moore in there. So I don't think there's too much of a downgrade, especially since quarterbacks who get in there, who are backups, they tend to go to the easy targets, like Kelsey's a very easy and friendly target. So I have no problem with them. The only problem I have is when Watkins comes back. I just kind of think Watkins was dying on the field. Granted, he did... His week one production came when Tyreek Hill was on the field, but without Patrick Mahomes, I don't know. He's a pretty tough start now with Moore in there. So I would trust Tyreek Hill, but I don't think I would trust I don't think I would trust Sammy Watkins when he gets back.
Yeah, Watkins was a tough start with Mahomes in there, anyways. So yeah, I wouldn't trust Watkins anyways. I guess the most talked about backfield in the NFL, the two or three or four headed monster, depending on how you look at it. Damian Williams was terrible once again. No touchdown to save him this time. 9 carries for 7 yards. Kevin, you talked about this earlier. You dropped him in one league. Is that something you'd recommend for everybody, or who did you pick up? And like, who are you looking to grab if you're dropping him?
So in my league, it was a little bit of an interesting case. I also had Mahomes, and I thought he was going to be done for the season. So my league, once the game is over, I'm allowed to drop the player. So I just dropped Damian Williams, picked up Tom Brady, who's not even that good of a fantasy quarterback, but figured I needed another guy while Mahomes. I really thought Mahomes was going to be done for the season. The fact that he's only going to miss 3 to 5 games, dislocating his kneecap, is pretty insane. I probably wouldn't recommend dropping him in all leagues. 10-team leagues, you could probably get rid of him. Seems like Shady is going to be the guy there. And, you know, with the next 3 to 5 weeks, it's going to be pretty tough to play Damian, especially if Shady is the lead back. So that's going to take you into week 13. And I don't really know if, you know, it's worth holding on to a backup running back for, like, you're not going to play him in the fantasy playoffs unless he really takes over. So I wouldn't blame anyone who drops Damian Williams if you don't have anyone better in like a 12 or 14 team league. And yeah, I guess you hold on to him.
Yeah. McCoy is taking over this backfield. I don't think, and the funny thing is that we thought this was a very dynamic backfield, but it doesn't look so great anymore. It at one time it looked like, you know, it started off as a good 1-2 punch, but I don't know, it's all fallen off. The Chiefs have, you know, they've lost a couple of games, and games they should should have won. But just not happening in that backfield is from what we saw in September.
Yeah. So stuff to say. I think Williams has become the handcuff back there, and then you're just waiting for injuries if you're still holding him. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Rams Falcons had the highest, highest over under of the week. Kevin, I think we talked about it, 54.5 in last week's show, and it ended up at 47. So the under, because the Falcons are absolute garbage. Matt Ryan got hurt. He threw less than 300 yards for the first time this season. And Ito Smith got hurt. Devonta Freeman got ejected for trying to fight Aaron Donald for whatever reason.
Come on. Don't frame it like that. It was not whatever reason.
Okay, Aaron picked him up. He picked him up like a doll. But
he picked him up like a child. He picked him up like the villain picks up the main character in an anime before they get like super buff, and the villain just like bullies him for a while. That's what Aaron Donald did. Marquise Goodwin tweeted it. He said he would sue Aaron Donald if he ever did that to him. And I 100% agree. I think if you're Devonta Freeman, you do the only thing you can in that situation, and is you have to throw a punch.
Yeah, he had to throw the punch.
You have to throw a punch. It's just you can't let a man do that to you.
Quite nasty out there. But it's entertaining.
Yeah. The
I would not call the Falcons entertaining. They're terrible.
They're great in garbage time, though.
And if they're gone, if they're losing Matt Ryan for a couple of weeks, my God, it's gonna be ugly because they got Matt Schaub as a backup.
Oh yeah, you mean elite Matt Schaub?
Hey, kept my Austin Hooper stocks high, so what can I really, can't complain.
The quarterbacks just are disappearing on us, but. It's one thing that, you know, this Gurley in, Gurley out, you just don't know what you're doing because he's always up on, he's always on the injury report every single week. You don't know whether you're starting him. He's always a game time decision. It's driving people nuts, but.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a terrible game.
No.
He got the touchdown and kind of saved it. But even on the Rams side, they scored 37 points. Nobody really had a big, big game. Everett had another touchdown. Goff only had two touchdown passes. But no, like, really standout performers from the game. Just crushing a bad team.
Yeah, and this was one of the complaints that you had. Because, you know, I tweet back and forth with Seth Klein on Twitter. And he's everybody after this weekend, especially with the Rams and what happened in that game, and the Falcons too, is nobody was happy with the fantasy performances of either team. When especially when you kind of thought this would be like a fantasy point explosion, it just didn't. It just was like a damp squib. Oh yeah, yep. Just to mention Ito Smith being out. So
yep, took a nasty hit. He did save Ryan on a block, but it looked bad. Neck snap back. Not a good injury at all. All right, let's move on to Dolphins Bills. What I thought was going to be a super boring game actually turned out to be pretty exciting because the Bills actually had to come back. I actually messaged this in our group chat. Imagine being down to the Dolphins late in the third, and I reverse jinxed the Bills. I really want them to lose that game. But fantasy-wise, John Brown had a great game. 5 catches, 83 yards. Can you consistently start him with how inconsistent Josh Allen has been?
I think he's flexible. I think John Brown is a guy you can flex every week, I think. I'd be comfortable with him. I'm going to have to see a little bit more of the Dolphins, but as for the Bills, and I would also say Cole Beasley, you can actually throw him in because he can go off at any given week. He might give you.
No, Cole Beasley's not flexible. The only reason he's usable this week is he had a touchdown, but he had 3 catches for 18 yards otherwise. Beasley's not flexible.
Hell yeah, good start by me beating Joe with Cole Beasley, my flex.
Oh,
what do you have to say about that?
You got lucky?
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a great play. I mean, it was him or
it worked.
It was him or Jacoby Myers, whatever. Not a big deal, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Kevin.
John Brown. I think he's almost matchup based. I think if you can kind of count on Josh Allen having a good game, good to decent game based on the defense he's playing, you can probably throw John Brown in there. But I don't think John Brown is some kind of defense beater who, you know, if he's matched up with a good cornerback, then I'm kind of off.
Yeah, and Kevin, I was actually going to ask you on the Miami side. You talked about in the preseason, Preston Williams, he had 6 catches, 82 yards. On the other side, Devontae Parker, 5 catches, 55 yards and a touchdown. If you had to pick one Dolphins receiver, which one are you taking?
I'm taking Devontae Parker. I mean, the air yards are there. The touchdowns. He's been scoring touchdowns. Preston Williams only has one touchdown on this. I'll take Devontae Parker, but I don't know. I feel like if I'm the Dolphins and I'm trying to fire sale everyone, I think I could get more for Devontae Parker than Preston Williams. So he might also get traded. So I don't know how you really consider that. But yeah, Parker's not, you know, he's not really a fluke. I mean, it's 3 straight games with a touchdown and I want to say 50 yards in each of them. So he's not a terrible option if you want to just, I think as long as Fitzpatrick is in there too, like you're going to get a slightly higher value than when Rose went there.
Definitely. And speaking of trades, Mark Walton out-touched Kenyon Drake, 15-9. Walton's 1 catch was for -9 yards. I'm not going to count that. Is this a preserve Drake for the eventual trade, Richard?
You know, that has been one of the big talking points on, and everybody's kind of expecting it, but I'm not so sure whether that's going to happen. It is possible. I mean, you're looking at, Detroit needs a running back to back up, but I don't see them picking him up. I don't know who is actually going to be in the market for Drake. So
Kansas City.
Possibly. But I mean, there's a lot of other Cardinals, like Kevin said there. But I don't know if, the deadline's approaching quickly, so we'll have to see. But everybody's picking up Walton, expecting, you know, something from the Dolphins. But again,
he has 66 yards on the Bills defense. That's no small feat considering how bad the Dolphins O-line actually is. He looked good. I watched a bunch of that game. He looked pretty good considering.
Yeah, but he's been around for quite a long time. and he hasn't been used a whole lot. So I take it with a little grain of salt, to use Kevin's phrase.
Can't get used if you keep getting arrested. Now that he's on the field, he's going to be fine.
As a Patriots fan, you would know.
We don't get arrested. We get suspended, all right? Come on, man.
We don't get arrested. There's one person that I don't want to really say, but you know how it goes.
Yeah. All right, I'm not supposed to say we on air. All right, strike that. moving on from Mark Walton, let's go to his former team, the Bengals, and their current running back, Joe Mixon, who I'm actively hating right now. He had 2 yards on 10 carries this week. It is terrible, terrible watching the Bengals try to play football.
Toby Gerhart. Toby Gerhart of 2019.
Dude, it's so bad. But he's actually a talented running back. It's just that offensive line is awful. It helps Dalton and the receivers, though. Alex Erickson, who I had to ask about in our chat, 14 targets, 137 yards. He had 180 yards all of last season, so that's fun. Kevin, yeah. Are you adding Alex Erickson in deep leagues?
Yeah, I could care less. I'm done with the Bengals offense. I thought Tyler Boyd was going to work out. He's not working out. Joe Mixon stinks. I've been saying that. AJ Green, who knows what's going to happen when he comes back. Auden Tate, like, all right, fantastic. He's had 50 yards in 3 straight games or something crazy like that. I don't care. I'm done with the thing.
Yeah, you don't have Fournette on there. He had a pretty good game.
With my Fournette take was just going to be he's getting 25 carries a game, expect 90-plus yards. You don't even have to talk about him as long as he's not hurt.
Yeah, but
pure volume monster.
Nice to see Westbrook getting a 100-yarder. So
yeah.
I still think Chark's the guy to own, but yep, Westbrook,
definitely.
But Westbrook, is going to get there. And just a little note on Alex Erickson, a nice sleeper pick. If anybody started him,
0.2% of Yahoo League started him.
I don't know who.
0.2% of fantasy owners. I have no idea who actually has him and who had the guts to actually start him, but that's amazing.
Well, I don't know. Bye weeks. People pick up sleepers, you know.
But Alex Erickson, though?
I know. It happens, doesn't it? I mean, people say, I'll just throw Erickson. Deeply.
Ugh, brutal.
I know.
I don't want to talk about these two teams anymore. I'm gonna move on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Vikings, Lions. Lions lost again, this time not on a terrible controversial call. I guess big key here is that Kerryon Johnson got hurt and Ty Johnson came in. Efficiency wasn't great. 10 carries for 29 yards. But he did have all 3 red zone touches for the Lions running backs. And he also got 3 targets in the passing game. It's him and JD McKissick now that Kerryon's out. I guess, Kevin, which are you going for, Johnson or are you going for McKissick?
I think you have to go for Johnson just based off the fact that he's going to play the lead back role. It is interesting, though, that it seems like at the beginning of the season, you know, I kind of mentioned that we weren't going to get, you know, the Stafford of old throwing 400, 500 times a season. But it looks like we might actually get that. And if that is the case, then maybe McKissick has standalone value in half point or full point PPR leagues, too. But as far as running backs go, you pretty much usually want the lead guy, and I'll take Ty Johnson.
Yeah, I think it's worth owning McKissick just in case. He's worth a pickup. Yeah. If you don't get Ty Johnson, pick up McKissick anyway, because you never know. And so quite happy about that. And Marvin Jones, massive monster game. Of course, where's Golladay? Nowhere.
One catch. He had Xavier Rhodes on him. I wasn't expecting a big day from Golladay anyways, but I was not expecting this from Marvin Jones. Although granted, he does have one of these games every year. And then he's the most traded player in every league because somebody will inevitably buy in thinking that he's going to keep doing this every year.
But on the other side with the Vikings, you know, Diggs has got the whole thing to himself now that Thielen's going to be out for a game. So, and it's a good matchup next week too. So,
yeah, I mean, Diggs, I guess he finally got what he wanted, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy. He cannot complain. Kirk Cousins looks like an actual quarterback again. He threw 4 touchdowns. I think that was a career day for him. Vikings offense suddenly looks usable now that Cousins can throw the ball again. Are you buying into this, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, most importantly, the offensive line looks good. Kirk Cousins somehow through 7 weeks has the highest quarterback rating in the league, which absolutely would not have guessed that. Oh yeah, look it up. He has 11 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the season. He has been actually playing pretty well outside of his trash first 2 games.
Yeah, he was playing so safe that he wasn't. It wasn't hurting his rating, so but overly safe. But of course,
and that's all you need to get rid of the quarterback rating stat. All right.
Oh no, it's off. Yeah, get that out of here.
Yep.
QBR is better, I think.
Okay. Moving on. Raiders, Packers, another quarterback with a career day. Aaron Rodgers, 429 yards, 5 touchdowns. Rushed for another one just to, you know, salt the wound for whoever had to face him this week. Packers receiving core was a little depleted. You know, Valdes-Scantling and Allison were a little hurt, but they both played. MVS had 133 yards on 2 catches. Obviously not sustainable. Richard, I guess you would be the expert on this. Until Davante Adams comes back, which of the three between Scantling, Allison, and Alan Lazard
I think it's actually Lazard, because, believe it or not, because he got the most targets. And I would actually say that it's actually Lazard, I mean, for the PPR formats. So, I mean, of course, Graham is coming into it. He got four catches, 64. I think, I'm not sure about the targets. I think he got more targets than that, too. So, yeah, Rodgers was really spreading it around. And speaking of, he had a perfect passer rating, too, for that game. Because it was so, finally, and this happens with Rodgers. This has happened before with Rodgers. He's come out with slow starts. And then as the season wears on, he gets better and better. So, I don't know, maybe we could be seeing a turnaround for A-Rod, because everyone was like complaining about how slow it just wasn't coming. And, you know, the running backs were scoring the touchdowns and he wasn't throwing them. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And, on the Raiders side of this, Darren Waller finally found the end zone. 2 touchdowns in this game, 7 catches, 126 yards. Actually had a 3rd touchdown called back. I'm going to go into a little bit of hot take territory here. With Matt Moore and a quarterback for Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz not looking like Ertz because the Eagles are terrible. Also, is Darren Waller closing in on like tight end one right now? Just like the number one tight end play in the league?
I'm not as mad at that as you might think. I think Carr, we saw with Jared Cook last year, absolutely loves his tight end. Waller finally found the end zone this season or this game. Tyrell Williams out. Zay Jones didn't play. So you're looking at like Hunter Renfro, Trevor Davis, Keelan Doss. So Waller is by far the number one option in that passing attack. I'm not mad at it. Mark Andrews can't catch the ball, so he's out the running too. So, I mean, yeah, I really wouldn't be mad at it. Yeah.
And your point about the tight ends and Derek Carr makes sense because the backup tight end, Foster Moreau, kind of touched down too. So,
yeah, vulture.
any tight end on the Raiders, just, yeah, it's a good call. And,
yeah,
of course,
Carr loves the middle of the field because he's too scared to throw. Oh, never
mind. And Josh Jacobs did his Josh Jacobs thing. Heavy volume, another 100 yard game. Good pick. Good job for the Raiders finding a good running back there. Texans, Colts, Jacoby Brissett is 1 touchdown behind the league lead, with 4 touchdowns on Sunday. Yeah, he's firmly in QB1 territory. He somehow supported Zach Pascal, who went off for 6 catches, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Is Pascal on the radar now for a consistent, or at least as a bench stash, or are you going to start him next week?
Needs to be owned. Pascal needs to be owned. Clearly. I mean, he's getting a good target share, and it's been shown too. I was kind of wondering about some of the other guys like Kane and the guy I messed up his name with when I was talking about T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, but it's actually Pascal. Pascal's the guy to own. Forget about Rodgers. Forget about Campbell. Forget about Kane. Pascal's the number two. He needs to be owned.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton did his thing. Eric Ebron had 4 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. I don't see Brissett throwing 39 passes a game going on, but this was a great showcase game, realistically. I guess this is why the Texans had to trade for, oh, I forgot his name, the cornerback.
Garian
Kevin.
Conley.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what they had to trade for him because their secondary was a little bit struggling with the injuries there. I guess the big injury from this game was Will Fuller. Strained his hamstring. This is the 4th hamstring strain of his career. Third time it's going to cause him to miss games. Kenny Stills had 105 yards on 4 catches, but the 2 receivers, I guess it would be Stills and Kiki QT, which receiver is the more priority pickup, and which one do you guys prefer?
Well, yeah, give me Stills. I think Stills is has a history of doing it. He's big play guy out of the slot. He's going to run a lot of those things. He's going to add more of the vertical element that Fuller, you know, or he's going to replace the vertical element that Fuller had. So you could see a lot of opportunity there. I think QT is probably going to be a pretty good replacement, but Stills is generally going to be better.
Richard?
Richard also agrees that Stills is the better pickup.
Great. Good to know that we're all on the same page here. Yep. And this does help the DeAndre Hopkins owners, i.e. me, who are complaining about this the lack of targets. So he finally had a good game since the first one since week one.
Yeah. There. Oddly, Fuller's absence will help him. strange as it may sound, because he's been hogging a lot of touchdowns lately. So Hopkins will be able to probably notch it up.
Yep. Hopkins' thing has always been pure volume, and without Fuller, I think he's going to go back to more of what people were expecting to start the season. Now on to Cardinals and Giants. Really the only person worth talking about in this game, well, other than Saquon, was Chase Edmonds. 27 carries, 126 yards, 3 touchdowns. Absolutely gashed the Giants defense. They had no answer. He was doing whatever he wanted. He had to throw open a trash can for his efforts. And
yeah, but
did you see that touchdown where the Cardinals players, after he scored a third touchdown, the Cardinals his teammates were sort of like waving him off because he was hot. He was I thought that was quite cool, because well, hot actually, because he was hot. I mean, Edmonds, they just kept feeding him the ball. And I'm kind of wondering whether it's going to, because of Edmonds' production, it could turn into a gulp committee. I wouldn't be too happy if I was a if I was a David Johnson owner right now. I wouldn't be sitting too comfortable about this. I would not like what I saw.
Nope, absolutely not. Chase Edmonds looks really good, and with the way that that Johnson keeps getting hurt, they could make the split a little bit closer so that Johnson stays healthy for later in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think as a David Johnson owner, you kind of have to worry that his injury is more serious than you think. They brought in Jay Ajayi and Spencer Ware for a workout, which I don't think you really do unless you think you need another running back. And as far as I know, David Johnson is supposed to be healthy, right? So it's a little bit shady that they'd bring in some guys in for a workout if he's not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he had the first carry of the game and immediately limped off, I think that was kind of like, all right, he aggravated again, and they don't want to deal with it. They're just going to let him sit. They'll let Edmonds or an Ajayi or where whoever else they want to put in the backup, they'll handle it, and I think DJ's probably going to miss next game.
Yep. Add this to the list of running backs don't matter. Continues to not matter.
Yeah, there's one more question I have about this game. I'm not sure about Evan Engram, of whether he was, because Rhett Ellison had a pretty good game in his place, so Rhett Ellison might be worth a pickup.
Oh, I mean, I think they might want to block for Daniel Jones, but yeah, he does tend to throw to Ellison. It's a decent low-end pickup, but yeah, Engram got hurt again. Not great there. Do we really want to talk about 49ers-Redskins?
Only one thing that I would like to mention about the 49ers and Redskins.
Go ahead.
The Mike Shanahan, who's the father Kyle Shanahan was going to give his dad the game ball, but the 49ers won 9-0. Yeah, pretty bad game. I think a lot of people were pretty upset because they kind of expected this is another thing where fantasy just falls apart for a lot of people, because you know, you start Kittle, you start Brady, you start Tevin Coleman was like touted as the start of the week on a lot of start sits, and it just didn't happen. Total disaster for fantasy this game, because a lot of people, you know, thought McLaurin would get his usual touchdown, which didn't happen.
Ooh, I was never gonna touch McLaurin against the 49ers defense. Their pass rush was way too good.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't have choice in bye week, so.
Oof. Not to mention it was a damn monsoon or something. Yep. It was a lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Did you see Bosa slide there?
That was great. Just about to talk. It was that was great. Great moment.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So there was something to talk about, not fantasy wise, but something.
All right, let's move on to like my favorite game of the week. Just because, you know, of all quarterbacks to establish themselves again. Ryan Tannehill.
This is your favorite? What?
Ryan Tannehill's back, guys. Eighth overall pick, Ryan Tannehill.
I was certain you were going to say Ravens, Seahawks. Chargers, yeah, Titans absolutely. Is what we're going to? All right, fine. Yes. You go off, Queen.
Oh, you can't wait to talk about the Ravens. Boo.
I got nothing to say. Y'all know.
All right. All right, let's
Tannehill,
do this.
Guys, he's actually looking good now. Not the Dolphins. He's actually leading an offense and using his weapons properly, and they look good. 312 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Chargers are not the best team, but, you know, he still look good. And I think Tannehill's worth a pickup, honestly.
I will not disagree with you because I personally never thought Ryan Tannehill was that bad. I mean, you can't really judge him based off what he was. I mean, of course, you can judge him based off what he was with the Dolphins. He had like 6 years there. But even with his Dolphins days, I never thought he was like horrible. I'm looking at his Pro Football Reference right now. His touchdown interception ratio career, 125 to 77. That's pretty solid. Like, you're not, you know, he's not a world beater by any means. He never won more than 8 games, but not a objectively bad quarterback. So to see him coming and do this with, you know, all the weapons that the Titans have, I'm not that surprised, guys.
Yeah, you can see how wasted, and even Jonnu Smith looks rosterable now. And you can just see how bad that Mariota. You know, Mariota has all these weapons that Tannehill just, you know, licked his lips to just have on the Dolphins and stuff. And now I would say with Tannehill in there, the value of A.J. Brown and Corey Davis are up. Definitely moving on up, if put it that way.
Yeah, stop spoiling the moving on up section, Richard. Come on. But yes, Corey Davis and A.J. Brown did have like significantly better games than they were having with Mariota. On the Chargers side, boy, Melvin Gordon is looking not good. 16 carries, 32 yards. The Chargers are trying to get him involved, but everything he does turns to nothing. If you have him, are you trading him, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on sell Mel Gordon bandwagon for, I don't know, weeks, months, years, lifetimes. Like, he's just not that good of a running back, and they're force-feeding him these inefficient touches when, you know, theoretically, if there wasn't any politics involved, they'd probably just go back to Eckler. I get that the offensive line is, like, really decimated, and going back to Tannehill, you do have to consider that the Chargers absolutely stink right now, but I don't really see how this Gordon thing is going to turn around. They just lost Forrest Lamp. They're starting left guard with a broken ankle, so he's done for the season. I think Eckler kind of fits what they need right now, which is kind of just like more dump offs, basically. So I don't know. I would try to sell Gordon as high as you could. I'm not really sure what you could get for him, though.
I don't know either. I think his sell by date was gone from the day you had to sell him before his first game back.
Yep. And another disappointing Charger, Richard. Keenan Allen, another, you know, mediocre game, 4 catches, 61 yards. With Hunter Henry back in here, who had 6 catches for 97 yards, how far have you guys bumped Keenan down in your rankings with the 4 straight off weeks?
I have, for rest of season, I have him at, get that for you, just a click. I have Keenan Allen at WR11 moving down. Probably, and hate to say it, but I don't know. I think it is that, you know, it's like the Antonio Gates thing with Philip Rivers, and he's going to old reliable tight ends again, and Hunter Henry is the guy. So, but I don't know. I wouldn't give up on Keenan Allen. I don't know whether you trade him. I don't think he's someone that you really want to give up on just yet. Mike Williams, however, kind of looks like the guy that Rivers is desperately trying to get the ball to a lot now. But I don't know. Kev, what do you think?
No, I think Keenan Allen is definitely a buy low target if you can. I mean, the targets were there. 11 targets. They missed on a couple deep passes, and if he had caught those, he'd have been over 100 yards. No one would really say much. The three previous weeks, yeah, pretty horrible. But I mean, his upside is—it's. I mean, he had a game earlier this season. His first three games was 123 and a touchdown, 98 yards, and then 183 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, I don't really think that's just going away because Hunter Henry is back, or Mike Williams needs to get some touches. Like, Keenan Allen is the end. I mean, he's the best player in that offense. So I think
if you can buy low on him, like it's kind of like the DeAndre Hopkins thing. I think that volume will always be there, and eventually he'll start converting.
Yeah, but I mean, 5 catches, 4 catches, 2 catches, 4 catches. I mean, granted, there was 11 targets, but still 4 catches. I mean,
sure. I mean, yeah, I'm moving him down, but I don't. Like, I'm not going to sell him too low. Like, no. I'd rather have, I mean, we can play the I'd rather have game, but he's probably, I don't know, he's wide receiver 10 on the season. I'd probably have him rest of season wide receiver 15 to 16. Like, he's not moving that far down. Like, it's no. The upside with him is too high.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, not too far down, but he is dropping. And to think that he started off on his house on fire, but not now.
And, all right, since I tricked Kevin. We'll move on to Ravens Seahawks. I think I saw the stat. I don't want to quote it wrong, but Kevin, was Lamar the first QB to rush for 100 yards in back-to-back games with a touchdown?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't really know.
I thought I saw that stat. I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to have to start searching again. But yeah.
I believe it. I mean, it's not very common that a quarterback runs for 100 yards and adds on a touchdown. So, and to do it in back-to-back game. I mean, the only thing I have to say is Lamar is, again, the probably, this is why he was like such a valuable asset going into the season. Like, he can just do this. That's, I mean, 116 and a touchdown. That's 17 points right there without even throwing a pass. Then you add in the fact that, you know, he can throw the ball a little bit, even though his receivers all stink. He's just going to get it done for fantasy.
Yep. And, I guess we talked about it a little bit last week, but Mark Ingram, as you said, didn't have a touchdown, didn't have a great day. So yeah, you totally called the touchdown dependence on him there.
Yeah. On top of that, it's, you know, Gus Edwards is actually a part of the offense, like, and he's a talented runner in his own right. On top of that, you've got Jackson pulling the ball 14 times. So, Ingram has a cap on his usage, and he is very, like I said, very touchdown dependent. He's also not going to catch that many passes because Jackson doesn't really throw to it. Lamar doesn't really throw to his running backs too much. So, I don't know. Ingram is someone that I would have wanted to sell high on. I don't know how much you can get from nowadays, but honestly, that whole offense is basically just Lamar Jackson and then one or two people kind of show up.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of impressed with, nice to see Boykin get in there for a couple of catches and seeing the ball spread around a little bit, Snead and, but Marquise Brown, yeah, I think even when he gets back, I think we were all taken in by that week one performance, so. Yep.
I guess on the Seahawks side, without Will Disley, DK Metcalf actually led the team with 9 targets. Is he going to be the number one target getter with Tyler Lockett, you know, getting his usual 4 targets?
Yeah. I mean, I think Lockett is still the number one. I mean, he's still the guy that people look to. He had Marlon Humphrey on him this game. Marlon Humphrey is quietly one of the league's better cornerbacks. Marcus Peters on the other side is now great too, I guess, but I've always thought he's a little overrated, but now that he's Raven, he's very, really, really good. So, but I mentioned last week that I thought Metcalf would be used more now that Disley was gone. Cause you know, Disley kind of played like the middle of the field, big body type receiver type of thing that DK can kind of fill in more than Lockett. So, Metcalf has been a buy for me. I think this is a good week, probably the last week that you can buy him with the 9 targets next week. I don't know who they play, but if he keeps up these targets, he's going to have a blow up game and you're not going to get him. So I think this is the week you have to go and grab him.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Richard, I guess as a Russell Wilson owner, did you get a chance to see the game and what was going on with the,
Yes, I did. I like the fact that Wilson plays for 60 minutes, but it just wasn't happening.
The Seahawks, sorry to interrupt, but the Seahawks have the Falcons next week and then the Buccaneers the week after that. So buy Metcalf where you can, yeah.
Yep.
You got a beautiful matchup. Start all your Seahawks next week. It's always nice to start all your, like you were saying, I wanted to just chime in a little bit about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the rushing guy. I thought Wilson might have taken the I can rush too, which Wilson was doing. He couldn't keep up with the young buck, Lamar Jackson. Wilson just doesn't do that sort of thing as much anymore. So, but it's nice to see Jackson though. I always like quarterbacks with wheels because you get those extra fantasy points from the ground. It's perfect. That's why I like Cam Newton too. But Cam is losing his wheels.
As long as he stays healthy, that's the key, right?
Yeah.
As long as he stays healthy. All right, moving on. Second last game of the week. Saints and Bears. Alvin Kamara's out. Latavius Murray comes in and doesn't miss a beat. 27 carries, 119 yards, 2 touchdowns, and caught 5 passes for 31 yards. Best handcuff in football?
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. I mean, the volume is crazy. 32 touches is pretty crazy. I don't know who their backup behind him.
It was Zenner. I think they picked up Zenner.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, honestly. Teddy's looking good. This offense is going great. I think they probably got one more week, and then they've got the bye, and then Breeze will probably be back after that. And I don't really foresee them missing a beat. So, I'm more and more concerned about the Bears' defense. This 1 week, they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. They had let Josh Jacobs run all over them in London their last game, and now Latavius Murray is not that good of a running back, so... I'm a little bit worried about their defense.
How much of the defensive struggles, Richard, do you think are due to the Bears' offense being absolute garbage?
How much is the defensive problems due to the offense?
85%.
It's probably a lot. 85%. Because they're on the field a lot, and when you get three and outs, you're going to have defense on a lot of the time. And Murray was just tiring out the Bears. I mean, he just rolled over them after he just wore them down. And three and outs, yeah, it's not going to cut it. But the Bears, you know, to give some credit to the Bears, I actually, Mitch Trubisky, he had to have this shoulder brace on and everything, and yet he was still doing it. And he, 54 attempts. I mean, that's kind of like not what I expected to see that Trubisky
awful,
do it.
Awful strategy. Just terrible.
I just couldn't believe it. Like, he's shoulder separation and 54 attempts. It's, what was he out to prove there? But.
I mean, that's a fire. In my opinion, that's a fireball offense for Matt Nagy. That's like just terrible. There's no strategy going into that at all.
Yeah, and you've even got a quote here, Matt Nagy. I'm not an idiot. I know we have to run more, and I really do think that, because I think Montgomery is a good running back in the waiting, and anybody who can pick up Montgomery now, especially after a statement like that.
I mean, it's not like they fell behind early either, but they carried the ball a combined 7 times. Like, and one of those was one of them was Anthony Miller. Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no, jeez. Anyways, I do have a fun stat on Trubisky here, though. Sorry to cut you off, Kevin. But Trubisky threw for the fewest yards ever for someone to have thrown exactly 54 passes. That's happened 56 times. Dalvin Cook actually averaged 1.1 more yards per carry than Trubisky averaged yards per attempt in this game. Just terrible.
That's disgusting.
That is bad.
Trubisky is so bad, guys.
But he's better than Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, right?
Yeah, because he's on the field.
There's a particular one particular attribute that he has different from them. That's very glaring in talent evaluators' eyes.
He played for UNC.
Yeah, man. School of the greats. Michael Jordan came from that school, don't you know?
That's the one. All right. Sunday nighter, Eagles, Cowboys. The only real takeaway I have from this game is that the Eagles secondary is brutal. They're so bad. It's start everybody against the Eagles. They're really, really bad.
Yeah.
They're bad. But I guess on the Eagles side, Dallas Goedert had a second straight good game, 69 yards and a touchdown. Is he viable even as a second tight end in the Eagles offense?
In fantasy, yeah, I think Goedert has to be owned. I mean, considering how awful almost every tight end is to own in the league. I mean, there are people that were talking about Dawson Knox being, you know, like, oh, he's a sleeper. What did Knox do? Nothing. And so I don't know. You want a tight end that can do something at least, and if a guy can get a touchdown, it's like Ebron. Ebron's worth owning. So Ebron had a fantastic touchdown, and that's something we didn't talk about the Colts game. Is Ebron one of the catches of the year? I mean, he's so addicted to touchdowns. He was determined to get one. So it's Goddard. Yeah, you got to own him, especially with tight ends are what they are. You want tight ends that get targets. You know. I think I started Luke Wilson on a lark because Jared.
It's okay.
Cook
my
got
tight
hurt.
My tight end got 0-2, so we canceled each other out there.
Yeah, so I guess fair is fair. I think you won probably. I don't. The way I look, you only needed a few points to beat me. I imagine that was over after the first quarter.
No, James White took till halfway through the third to get his points.
Oh, yep.
Are you guys playing each other this week?
Yep, I won by 7 with a sick 89 points. Oh yeah,
talk that shit.
Let's go. 6-1, baby.
Well done.
I guess, Kevin, just keeping on with the tight ends, with the way the Eagles offense looks and with Goddard coming into his own, are you dropping Ertz down your tight end list?
Oh, well, I thought you just meant dropping. I was like, wow, that's...
No, down the list. Down the list. Don't drop Ertz.
This is the fear that I had going into the season with Ertz was that, you know, the offense probably not going to be that good, you know, compared to the, you know, like the last couple of years. Goddard was going to play a huge role. Ertz was just not going to see the kind of volume that he was. Yeah, it's ugly. I think he's probably comfortably tight end 6 now.
I have him... Yeah. Tight end 7 right now for rest of the season.
Who we got? It's still Kelsey. It's still Kittle. Waller now, we talked about.
Hooper.
So that's 4. Mark Andrews is debatable. Hunter Henry, I would probably have up there. Then you got to look at like Evan Ingram and stuff. So yeah, you have him at like tight end 6-7. He's not a, you know, just like a super solid option like he's been in years past.
Yep, for sure. And I'll segue this into our panic button section because it's so perfect. Kevin, you have the you have Carson Wentz as a panic button player.
Yeah, it's ugly for Carson. I know he's coming off a good game against Minnesota, where he had 306 and 2 touchdowns, but this game against Dallas was really, really ugly. Only 26 attempts, which is kind of weird. 191 yards, a touchdown, a pick. He's not running the ball at all this season. Taking a lot of sacks. Lost 2 fumbles last game too. He doesn't look comfortable. The offensive line, which everyone touted as, you know, one of the best in the game, is kind of crumbling. It's not as good as it's been in years past. Nelson Agholor doesn't want to catch the ball for some reason. I get that DeSean Jackson is coming back, but, if you look at his schedule, it's not pretty either. He's got at Buffalo, versus Chicago, then a bye, then New England. So the next 4 weeks, are you really comfortable using him? I'm not really too sure. Yeah, so I'm kind of a little iffy on Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz. I totally agree on that because you just don't know what you're going to get every week. He's not a comfortable start. You would think that after one, you know, one bad game, he bounces back, but he's throwing a lot of balls away, and he's like a few passes to Alshon Jeffrey just looked terrible. There was no way Alshon Jeffrey is going to catch him. He's not accurate. He's really not.
Yeah, he's a little wild with the ball sometimes. And yeah, like you said, his inconsistencies. He's got 3 games this season under 191 yards passing. 2 games over 300. But, you know, like, it's just he's not the same, you know, MVP type caliber guy that we saw before. The upside is not quite there. The downside is lower than it's ever been.
Yep, definitely. Let's move on. Richard, who is your panic player?
My panic player. You know, I didn't pick any, so I'm gonna have to go on the fly. Can you go to Kevin first?
Wentz was Kevin's panic, so I'll move on to me. We talked about him already. Melvin Gordon. I just had a couple stats I want to throw out there. Just for Gordon, since he's come back, 27 of his 36 carries have gained 3 yards or fewer. He's fumbled twice. 11 of his 14 targets have gained 3 yards or fewer. And all plays that have been given to Melvin Gordon are averaging 2.3 yards.
Hell yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Pay that man. $10 million a year. $12 million a year. Give him the money.
I'm gonna steal a quote from that I saw on Reddit this morning. Just I imagine Melvin Gordon running into the back of his lineman, just yelling, "Pay me!" and then fumbling.
Yeah.
Just
I guess
what a guy.
I guess I gotta say the panic button on Rashad Penny. He was active for week 7 and he didn't get 1 carry.
Yeah, he's not very.
Don't draft running backs in the first or second round if the rest of your team not that great.
Yeah. Or what about Saquon? Like
Chris Carson in the wings waiting to be the most physical running back in the league. What is the point of drafting Rashad Penny? I hated that pick when it happened and I'm so glad it worked out.
Yeah,
not a great pick.
Very bad pick, Rashad Penny. Yeah, because it was for where you took him. Yeah, Rashad Penny is just a handcuff. If that, I don't know. Procise was in the game. Penny got nothing, 0. So if you started Riddle. Penny, is it just, you know, as a...
I feel like he's going to get traded.
That would be Penny? Interesting.
To where, though? Like Miami?
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, him trading for Kenny Drake would be hilarious. I just feel like you can't... If you draft the running back super high, you can't just have him wasting away on your bench. You know, at least try and see if you can get a 3rd or a 4th, a 5th for him or something like that.
You know, that's a point, Kev. You know, maybe they bubble wrapped him. for a trade.
I mean, I think they benched him because he's not good, honestly. he's not very good.
No, he's not. He's not good.
But Jonathan, they told me that he would really kickstart the Seahawks offense to another level.
Was this before he showed up for his first camp and looked awful?
With his pass-catching ability and great, solid running through the tackles, vision, balance, contact balance, he has it all, man.
I mean, you know who else had balance? Trent Richardson. So, yeah.
I said vision.
You said balance twice.
Balance and contact balance, two different.
Yes, and Richardson had both. He just ran, he balanced off the back of his lineman.
He has no vision.
Yeah. Everybody knows what picture you're talking about. Don't worry. We remember. Yeah.
Can I panic some more?
Yeah, panic away.
All right, Brandon Cooks, my guy. What's going on out there, bro? I touted you as the best receiver to own in that Rams trio, and I was big wrong.
Cooper Cup?
It's Cooper Cup. Hand up. That's on me. Didn't see that one coming. That being said, one catch, last three games, one catch for 29 yards, three catches for 18 yards, four catches for 59 yards. Just not getting it done, buddy. Gerald Everett is coming in, posting better fantasy numbers than him. Robert Woods is still mediocre. Cooper Kupp is taking all the high value stuff. It's bad. I don't know. The thing is, I don't even think you could get like a decent, get anything decent off of a trade for him. I think he's, everyone's kind of seen him for what he is. So I'm not sure what you do with him. I guess you start him every week, but you know, like I said, half point PPR, that's like 7 points a game. He's the wide receiver 29 on the season. It's, not great.
All right.
Yep.
Too many mouths to feed. Richard, are you ready for your panic or you want me to do mine first?
Do yours first because, I'll save mine for last so that you guys can yell at me.
Oh, you're going to say Josh Gordon. All right.
Josh Gordon.
Yep. All right. My panic. We already, again, we talked about him, but just cause, he was drafted really high. David Montgomery, Bears running back. Just, there's so much hype behind him going into the season. Even the Bears, like Matt Nagy and everybody's talking about how, you know, it was a dream to have him. They're pinching themselves that they can have him. And nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's like, he had two carries this week. The carries are inconsistent. They don't let him get into a rhythm. He actually finished with negative points against the Saints. Just bad usage and one of the biggest busts of the year at this point. If anybody's willing to give you anything for him, do it. Doesn't matter what it is.
All right. I will avoid. I will. We can save. I'll save Josh because I don't want to bring on grief like that. But I, you know, I'm kind of wondering about Tyler Boyd. The last two games, he had one big game against Arizona where he had 14 targets. So he had 14 targets against Jacksonville and he got five catches, 55 yards. And I think this is on Andy Dalton. And why was Erickson, who was on him? Kev, who was on Tyler Boyd on that game?
What's his dude's name? He used to be on the Texans.
Boye?
His name is actually Kev. AJ Boye.
AJ Boye.
Oh, who the hell I'm thinking? I mean, Kevin Johnson. AJ Boye. AJ Boye is good.
Yeah, Boye is good, but Tyler Boyd, 6 fantasy points in half PPR. Not very good for 14 targets. And before that against Baltimore, he had 3 catches for 10 yards. Before that, because he had
Humphrey, man.
Yeah, then Arizona, of course, he had the big game, but everybody can have a big game against Arizona. And then Pittsburgh, 5 fantasy points, 10 for that. You know, getting a lot of targets, but not converting them. He's got one touchdown in the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, he's third in the league with targets with 73, which is a great sign. Those targets are coming from Andy Dalton, though, so that's a terrible sign. But yeah, I mean, the targets are going to be there. The question is when AJ Green gets back, how good he? His next 3 weeks are not great. Got the Rams. He'll probably get Ramsey. He's got a bye. Terrible. And then he's got Baltimore again. Marlon Humphrey again, probably. Unless AJ Green gets back and then he'll have, Marcus Peters on him. So yeah, I don't know. I'd be out on Tyler Boyd.
All right. I guess Kevin, you want to do your moving on up?
Yeah, I guess. More Patriots talk. Sonny Michel. Love him or hate him, the guy just puts up fantasy points. He does it in just seemingly stupid, inefficient ways. Like tonight, what did he have? Like 17 carries for 46 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, it wasn't terribly efficient.
Yeah, ugly. But, you know, he gets the job done. Over the last week, he's... what is this? Over the last 4 weeks, he is 44th overall in fantasy points. And that's, not terrible. I mean, he's doing well.
he's getting a lot of touches. He's getting yards, averaging about 75 yards a game. I think he's moving on up just because he's, you know, proven himself that he's going to be part of that Patriots offense. He's going to be the touchdown scorer. Yeah, I don't know. Why do I pick a Patriot? I didn't talk enough about the Patriots.
Because you're being a good objective analyst.
I guess so. That being said, Patriots stink.
What? Yo, 3 weeks. We'll see. Let's go. Richard, who's moving on up for you?
Well, it's D.D. Westbrook. We already talked about him. It's nice to see him getting more targets, and working out for him. It's been gradual. It's been slow going for him because DJ Chark has sort of taken over the number one. So there's hope for it's a little happier times for people who own D.D. Westbrook. So be happy. Enjoy it while it lasts. And I think it might last a little bit longer than you think.
Yep, for sure. I'm going to stick in the same division and go with A.J. Brown. Again, we talked about him a little bit earlier when I was talking about Tannehill. He had great weeks, 1 and 3, really big plays, had led to big games. But this past week with Tannehill was the first time, he set career highs in both targets and receptions. 8 targets, 6 catches, 64 yards. If Tannehill can, you know, consistently get him targets, I think Brown has enough speed and enough talent to turn some of those into big plays. And, you know, he's no longer big play dependent. If he actually gets targets, I think he's more consistent, and he's moving up. He's a good target now. All right, who wants to go next? Kevin, you want to go through your second one since you have it written down?
Yep. Talked about him, mentioned him a little bit, but I really want to harp on it. Kirk Cousins. The dude is balling ever since Stephon Diggs, or who's that Eagles linebacker who called him the weak link on the offense and then promptly got shredded and then promptly got cut. That was hilarious. But, in the last 3 weeks, Cousins has 976 passing yards, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, all in wins. The team is just putting up crazy points. They've got 108 points in those last 3 games. They're kind of just doing whatever they want. Revenge game on Thursday against the Redskins. It's going to be great. I'm sure he's going to disappoint because that's what Kirk Cousins does. But in general, he's moving on up.
Good call. Richard, who's your second moving on up?
Well, I'd like to say Gardner Minshew, but I don't know whether the effect of Nick Foles coming back is going to help. But, I mean, he's got the Jets, Houston, Indianapolis, and Tennessee, and Tampa Bay coming up. Their bye week is week 10. So I can't really take Gardner Minshew because of Nick Foles. So because of that, I'm gonna go with Jacoby Brissett. I think Brissett has really come into his own, and he's got Denver, Pittsburgh, Miami, and Jacksonville coming in. Jacksonville's a tough one, but he's looked really good and solid. A good solid 326 yards. That's his second 300 plus game of the year, and 39 passings. With Denver coming up, who knows? I mean, it's like I say, he's upping the value of the players, and I don't think we're missing Andrew Luck as much as we thought. Jacoby Brissett, yeah, definitely moving on up.
Wolfpack. Those two are doing great. My last moving on up, I'm going to go a little off the board, just because we kind of talked about his quarterback today. We shredded him. Jamison Crowder, in his 2 games outside of tonight with Darnold, he had 14 catches for 99 yards in week 1. And then last week against Dallas, he had 6 catches for 98 yards. Discounting the game against the Patriots, Crowder has games coming up against Jacksonville, Miami, the Giants, Redskins, Raiders, Bengals, and then Miami again over the next few weeks. If you need a wide receiver, especially in PPR leagues, Crowder is a very, very good personal target with the Jets' upcoming schedule.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Jets hatred tends to just begin and end with Adam Gase, so it's hard for me to tout the Jets while he's still doing things that make him go bug-eyed. We'll leave it at that, and also coaching the team.
That's why I said it was off the board, but if Darnold has to throw against those teams, then I think Crowder's going to be his target.
You know what's going to happen is Le'Veon Bell, 28 carries.
Again. Oh, I know. At this point, it might be best for them to start actually winning games, but who knows?
Why would you ever want to win games in the NFL?
But the Dolphins are the first team to openly tank, right? That's what people have been telling me all year.
We've got 3 teams openly tanking this season. God, these teams are awful, man. The Bengals are awful. The Redskins, awful. The Falcons, awful.
The Jets are terrible.
I mean, I don't think Jets. the Falcons are not openly tanking. They're just bad.
Yeah, they're openly awful. I didn't say tanking. Awful. Just terrible. Can't watch them.
I don't know what Arthur Blank's going to do, but I think Dan Quinn, he's definitely...
All right, get Dan Quinn out of here.
Dan Quinn, just it's not working. Whatever's going on there, it's not working. So, but you know, I wanted to talk to you guys. Now, I left him out of courtesy. I left Josh Gordon out of the, out of our panic button because I don't think it's just being nice. But yeah, I gotta know your take on Josh Gordon now. Where do you guys stand with him now?
Oh, we did this last week.
Well,
if Josh Gordon had a better quarterback, then none of it would be a problem.
Yeah.
A better quarterback than the GOAT.
Bring back Brian Hoyer and Jason Campbell. That's who gave him a 1,600-yard season. That's who the Patriots need in there. Double quarterback.
He needs a better quarterback.
We need Jason Campbell. We need Jason Campbell back under center. Let's go.
Yeah. I think, you said something last week, Kevin, about this, and as I was listening. And you said, and this is an interesting point. Is Tom Brady, is he a system quarterback? And I think he is. I think you hit the nail on the head there.
How dare you?
That's a bad take. Kevin said it, and I'm just giving a nod to it. I mean, it deserves some thought. I mean, he's not that good, Jonathan.
Look at your boy Jacoby Brissett flourish. Jimmy Garoppolo flourish. These guys could have stepped in and done the same thing. They would have 6 Super Bowls by now.
Or Belichick knows how to evaluate quarterback talent.
I'm saying that he's a system quarterback now. Maybe not earlier in his the offense is sort of working him into a system to keep him,
Yeah, I'm definitely trolling. He's 40. What is he? 42? Like, how can you? I can't really say anything. Like, the fact that he's even playing is incredible. So, although Adam Schefter says, Brady's going to leave the team next year.
What?
Oh, yeah. He said, hey, man, Brady put his house up for sale. His trainer put his house up for sale. He has an out clause in his contract next year. The only logical conclusion is that he's leaving the Patriots next year. A plus B plus C equals D.
Yeah, but they don't, but who they got for, are they going to groom this guy who's the
Jared
back?
Stidham?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure they'll just trade for Mariota and he'll become the GOAT number 2.
If I tell you something, I would like to see if Belichick can turn Mariota into something. That would probably be the greatest feat of all time.
Jonathan, picture this, okay? Brady rides off the sunset. Or does something crazy, joins the Los Angeles Rams because he wants to be in LA. I don't know, whatever. Let him do whatever he wants. The Patriots trade for Cam Newton. Belichick unlocks Cam Newton. Cam Newton, 5,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing every season. Thoughts?
I mean,
could you imagine like at a Patriots press conference with Cam Newton in front of the Patriots? with all that stuff he wears all the time.
Cam Newton's problem has never been system, or it's never been, like football IQ. It's he just can't hit his guys. And when he does, he like breaks their fingers because he just chucks at them as hard as he can. That's always been his problem. That's nothing Belichick can fix. That's just...
Oh, yeah, because Belichick's not a good coach. I forgot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I thought about that.
10 years now of Cam just hucking it as hard as he can.
Let's be fair to Cam. He's an MVP. He took his 15-1 team to the Super Bowl. You can't ask for too much.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. That would be funny. I'm thinking Mariota or Winston, one of those two.
Oh my God. Winston.
Jimmy Jameis.
I mean, if anyone could fix Jameis, it should be quarterback whisperer Bruce Arians.
But I want Jameis throwing to Gordon. Just consistent 50-yard bombs. Just all the time. Every play. Just have Gordon running wind sprints the entire game.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like Josh McDaniels likes Josh Gordon at all.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. A lot of his plays, I talked about this last week, but a lot of the plays are just like, he's Brady's bailout guy. Like, if I need to toss it up there and not get hit, please go catch it. Because, like, the slants and the stuff that he was using in Cleveland to make him successful, there's not a whole lot of that going on this year. Maybe it's because he doesn't have the speed, doesn't have the separation, but for whatever reason, whatever else he was running in Cleveland to make him successful are not really happening in New England.
Can I tell you this thing? Well, I think if Josh McDaniels ever leaves, he'll be a flop again as a head coach, because he's going to get hired as a head coach and he's going to flop again.
I mean, I'm 99% sure he stayed in New England because they promised him the head coaching job after Belichick left. Like, there's no other reason why he would not go back to Indy. So.
Well, when Belichick, let me see how old Belichick is.
He's gonna leave the same time Brady does.
You think so?
He's talked about retirement a few times now, so I think he might. If they win again this year, I think he might. If Brady retires,
they're gonna get another Super Bowl. I really don't want another Super Bowl for the Patriots.
I disagree.
Well, of course you do.
I disagree.
I think Rodgers needs another one. Rodgers should get one.
No.
Or what about poor old Philip Rivers? Maybe he could get one. They can win a game.
Not while he's on the Chargers. Good God, that
their team is
atrocious.
Yeah, they're too terrible to even have a chance right now.
I mean, I think he's the only one from the old class that hasn't got one, or hasn't been to one. I mean, Matt Ryan's at least been to one.
I would really like to see Joe Flacco get another one.
Bored.
You know what I mean? Like, let's get him on the Bears or something. Let's take a magical run to the Super Bowl. He wins another one.
You know what?
Just untouchable.
I mean, that second one would tie him with Peyton Manning for Super Bowl.
Untouchable in the annals of history. Right now, you can say the 1 year was a fluke, sure. But can you say 2 years is a fluke? No, you can't really.
I mean, if he manages to drag this Broncos team to a Super Bowl win, then yeah, sure. Second greatest quarterback of all time.
Who's the first?
Brian Hoyer. We went over this.
I was about to say, I know you're not thinking about that system quarterback, Brady.
Brian Hoyer.
No, I'm right, saying. We're done here, I guess.
I think we're running a little overtime here, but
yeah, we are.
Thanks everybody for listening. I guess our final thoughts were: is Tom Brady system quarterback? So, yep, this was our Week 7 wrap, Week 8 outlook. Thanks everybody for listening. For Richard Seville and Kevin Hull, I'm Jonathan Chan. We'll see you next week.
Well done.